An Atomic Alarm Clock, Part 2, by Doc Mike Finley. Image. Various minerals fluorescing under ultraviolet light. From Wikipedia. You might have been to a nightclub or concert and seen your clothes light up. That's because the organizers of the said venues have had the stupid idea, in my opinion, of illuminating the place with UV lamps or black lights. What you are witnessing, in such cases, are the chemicals in the fabric of your clothes absorbing the short wavelength ultraviolet light and emitting a longer wavelength visible light. This is pretty much the key to how rubidium clock works. Except for one thing, we have to stop our clothes lighting up when exposed to the UV. Rubidium metal, absorption and emission. Don't let that heading put you off continuing to read. If I can, sort of, understand it, you should have no problem. Rubidium is a soft, silvery, alkali metal with a melting point of around 40 degrees centigrade. It comes in two naturally occurring flavors, rubidium 85 and rubidium 87, or RB85 and RB87. RB85 is the most common at around 72% natural occurrence and RB87 at 28%. The RB85 means that there are 37 protons and 48 neutrons. The RB87 means that there are 37 protons and 50 neutrons. Both are known as isotopes of rubidium. There are other interesting facts about rubidium, but we don't need to consider them to understand how an atomic clock works with the stuff. First, let's have a think about that t-shirt lighting up. Image. Figure 1. In figure 1, forgive the pencil work, we have a photon from the UV lamp, blue wiggly line, hitting an atom in the shirt. When it does so, the atom releases a longer wavelength photon, red wiggly line. Why? The process is called fluorescence, and in the diagram on the right we can start to understand how this works. I've drawn three horizontal lines labeled 1, 2 and 3. These represent the orbits of an electron around its nucleus. The bigger the number, the farther away from the nucleus the electron orbits. Like a planet around a star. The little black dots represent electrons. When they are in position 1, they are said to be in their ground state. Chilling out, so to speak. If a photon of the right energy hits one of these electrons, it knocks it to a higher orbit, but it doesn't stay there for long. If the electron were to be knocked from A to B and then immediately return to it, would emit a photon of the same color as the one that knocked it in the first place. Like an apple looks green or a tomato looks red. We have a basic absorption and emission of the energy. But that is not what is happening with our t-shirt, and energy conservation dictates that what goes in comes out. When a photon from the black light hits our t-shirt, it knocks it from position A to B. This is the interesting bit. Instead of it falling back to A, it slowly falls to C. When I say slowly, I mean a few nanoseconds, which is a long time atomically. By doing so, it loses some of its energy as heat. It then falls rapidly from C to D and emits a longer wavelength photon, a different color. This process is called fluorescence. Okay, I'll confess, you don't really need to know about fluorescence to understand a rubidium clock, but you do need to think about absorption and emission. In the photo below, I've taken the lid off of the X72 and powered it up so that you can see the rubidium lamp lit up. Think of it as a UV black light. It glows a soft pinkish color. Inside the larger metal box on the right is a metaphorical t-shirt. Image. Lid off of the X72. Referring back to fig.1, you can see that I've drawn in a magic switch that's connected to the shirt. Now imagine this: if I pushed that switch exactly once per second, the photon from the black light would no longer cause the t-shirt to fluoresce. The electron simply jumps from A to B and back to A, emitting the original black light. If I push the switch a little faster or slower, then the electron jumps from A to B to C and back to D, and the t-shirt fluoresces. If we could do that, we would have found a way to use an atom to measure time. An atomic clock. In part 3 we look at how rubidium can do just that and explain a bit more about what's going on in the above photo. Copyright Dr. Mike Finley 2018.